Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. We're going to open our service with the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. So we'd ask that you would stand with us, please, as we open our service. Good to see everyone here this morning.
Victors in the midst of strife, joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Welcome to you this morning. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you today. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning. Good to see everyone here today.
Good morning, folks. It is good to see you. I'm glad you're here today. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube, and we welcome our radio listeners this morning to our time of worship today. We'll continue in preaching from the book of Philippians today, and we'll be talking about joy again today. Philippians is the book of joy in the New Testament, so that's going to be our theme over the next few weeks as we look at the book of Philippians. So we'll be in Philippians chapter 1 this morning, and we'll be talking about joy and adversity. So we'll be talking about that today. I'm glad you're here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you that we can have joy and that our joy is based on our relationship with you. You are the joy of our life. We thank you that we could come today and we could worship together. And I pray today that we'd honor you in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I just call your attention to the announcements that's listed there in your bulletin. Just take note of those that may pertain to you. Told Pastor we're going to try something different this morning. It could be a train wreck. Who knows? We'll wait and see. It's a flashback, I'm sure, to some. We used to do responsive readings all the time during worship services. You know, I just remember as a kid, you read the light part, the worship leader read the light part, the congregation read the dark part. We did that a lot. So we're going to try that this morning. So when it says everyone, that's you guys, okay? So you read when it comes to that. Don't be afraid to speak out. I mean, you're supposed to read out loud, not silently. So you would say, in God I have put my trust, I will not fear. This sequence is all about trust. And so we're going to give it a shot, okay? I'll do the worship leader part, and then you all chime in with where it says everyone, okay? And if we don't get it all together, that's no big deal, okay? So we're going to try this. Okay, praise team, if you'd stand. I'm not going to ask you all to stand. So the praise team's going to read with you all the everyone part, okay? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.
In God I have put my trust, I will not fear.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
In God I have put my trust, I will not fear.
When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned.
In God I have put my trust, I will not fear.
I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Y'all did very good on that. You did very well. We're going to follow that up with our trust in Jesus with one of our favorite songs, The Goodness of God. We have learned to depend upon Him and His goodness. So we're going to ask that you stand with us as we sing The Goodness of God, and Anna has the first verse here.
Never fail me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good.
Be seated. He is so good and has proven to be good to us. We're going to introduce a new song. We've worked on this for several weeks. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There should be joy when we come into God's house this morning. So we're going to sing about that this morning. There's joy in the house of the Lord. If you know it, join in with us.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the enemy rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Been a part of our community. We had a tragic loss this week with Chris Jenkins, the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office Deputy Sergeant, was killed in the line of duty this week. So we need to remember him and his family. Christy and Chloe and Clay, both his kids, came here. They were part of our youth group for several years. So just we're going to have a moment of silence, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. So just as we have a moment of silence, just whisper a prayer for their family and to God for them to have strength and courage and comfort during this time. So let's have a moment of silence, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow as a corporate group of worshipers, God, we lift all of our hearts to you and our burdens of our heart. We pray for this family. We pray for the Jenkins family. Pray for his mom and all those involved, his family. God, comfort them as only you can. Lord, we know that the next few days will be difficult. We pray for strength and encouragement. Pray for comfort. God, I pray that the God of all hope and love and mercy will be evident to them. Pray they'd feel your presence in the days ahead. God, help us as a community to do our part to surround them with love and care and point them to you. And I just pray, God, we'd keep them in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in song this morning. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. It's been so you've been so faithful throughout the years, and we thank you for your presence being in our life and your direction and guidance as we go through each and every day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Philippians chapter 1. We have our love offering box over here, and today will be the last day. We've been receiving a love offering for the mission trip to Honduras, and so today will be the last day that we'll do that for a while. So if you have anything you want to give to the mission trip, the love offering box is over here. The joy of adversity, Philippians 1, and I want to begin at verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. In this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. For this I know, this will turn out for my deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. We believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe the Bible is without error, that it is the truth of God's Word to us. We also know this about the Bible. The Bible is a book that talks about problems. All through the Bible, we find problems. And the reason we find problems in the Bible is because we find people in the Bible. It began very early with Adam and Eve. It goes all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. You think about people like Abraham, he had problems. Moses had problems. Some of the great leaders of Israel, they had problems. David, the great king of Israel, he had problems. So we look at that. And so we come to the New Testament, and we find the same is true there. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, had problems. And he's speaking of those problems in this passage that I read to you this morning. Now, what about you? Do you have problems? Well, they could be great or they could be small. But what we know is this, that Christians are not immune to problems. We're not immune to adversity. We're not immune to tragic things that happen in our lives. We're not. Now, we have a wonderful Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He saved us. He redeemed us. He's with us. He's faithful to us. But we still have adversity in life. The big problems weigh us down. The small problems irritate us. And so we deal with that through life. Sometimes we feel that our problems go from bad to worse. And that's just part of life, and that's human nature. Problems can shock us. They really can. Even though we know that problems are going to be a part of life, when they come, it can be a shock to us, and it can be a something that takes us back. Problems can sadden us. You know, problems can develop slowly in our lives. We look for solutions. We, you know, these problems, they defy really any quick or sudden solution. It seems like they just keep lingering with us. But these are situations that the Bible says that we need to turn over to God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. You know, these are things that we can't control on our own. They're bigger than what we are. So we turn them over to the Lord. And I like what Peter said. All, A-double-L, small, great, no matter what, we turn all those things over to the Lord. And so what this passage reminds us of, though, is that our joy is not found in the circumstances and situations of life, but our joy is found in the Lord. He is our joy. Jesus is our joy. Our relationship with Him is what takes us through these hard times of life and the adversities of life that we face. Now, the Lord's given us a powerful tool. And what He's given us when we go through adversity is a tool that we all can use, and that is the power of prayer. We can pray in faith to God, knowing that He hears us and knowing that He answers prayer. So that's the tool that we have. You know, God allows problems to come our way. I think one reason is to teach us to pray. And so that's what happens when we find adversity in life, problems in life, we go to the Lord in prayer. So He wants us to discover, though, that through prayer that we can find joy, we can find peace, no matter what the adversity is in our life. Now, that's what Paul is dealing with here in this passage. He found joy, he found peace, he found hope, not in his circumstance. Now remember where Paul is. Paul is in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. Another thing that happens with problems is they can strengthen us. If there's anything that problems have in common with us, it's this, that problems strengthen our faith. They really do. They make us really stronger in the Lord. And another thing about the problem is, you know, we would never know how to find strength, how to pray, how to, you know, find victory and joy if it really wasn't for the problems. But that's where we find the strength in the Lord. We know what He can do for us. You know, problems really say a lot about us. They really do. When it comes right down to it, problems are going to reveal your spiritual condition. And problems will reveal my spiritual condition. Problems reveal our character, our weaknesses, our strength. Problems really become opportunities for us to find our strength in the Lord, to find our joy in the Lord, and to find our comfort in the Lord. Problems are an opportunity for us to know that God answers prayer, that He hears prayer, and that He helps us. So without the problems, then we would have no opportunity to trust God. If everything in life was easy and everything in life was smooth, then, you know, where would our need for faith be in times of adversity? So that's what's going on here with these problems. You know, God has often hidden maybe His purposes to us in problems that come our way. The book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, the book of Ephesians, Philippians that I'm reading from today, these are known as the prison letters because all these books in the New Testament, these four books in the New Testament, were written when Paul was in prison. I don't know if you remember Charles Colson or not, Chuck Colson, but he was on President Nixon's staff. He was very high in Nixon's staff. And he served the president during the time of Watergate. And really, that's how most of us come to know Charles Colson, was through the thing with Watergate. But he was sent to prison. And during his time in prison, he became a believer. After he got out of prison, he started what is known as the prison fellowship. And he ministered to prisoners for the rest of his life. But here's what he said in the conclusion of his book, Loving God. Let me give you his conclusion. Here's what he said. He said, my lowest days as a Christian, and he said there were low ones. He said 7 months worth of them being in prison. But he said, my lowest days as a Christian have been more fulfilling and rewarding than all the days of glory in the White House. Notice what Paul is saying here in verse 12. The things which have happened to me. Paul had a desire to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. He never thought that he would go to Rome as a prisoner. Paul had been in prison in Caesarea for about 2 years. In the book of Acts, from Acts probably 16 on to the end of the book of Acts, we read about what all the things Paul went through when he got to Rome. And that's what he's talking about here. All the things that I went through. And so now he's talking about the things that he went through while he was in prison. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. Philippi was the church that the Apostle Paul loved. Of all the churches that he started, I mean, Philippi was the church that he loved. So he wanted to set their minds at ease. He wanted them to know about his situation, what he was going through, his circumstance. And so he wrote this letter, the book of Philippians, to give them information about that. He knew that they were concerned about him. So he gave them his own testimony and experience of what he had been through. Very quickly this morning, what I want to do is take this passage and from this passage very quickly share with you some principles. Some principles that will help you when you go through adversity. In verse 12, Paul says, these things have happened to me and they have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The key word there is furtherance. And what it means is this, it was a military term that was used by the Roman soldiers. And what it meant was this. It meant that the soldiers would go in and they would remove any barriers that would delay the progress of the Roman army that was on the march. And so Paul used that word here to describe what had happened to him. And in other words, what he's saying is that even though I'm in prison, that it did not become a barrier to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got to Rome. It wasn't the way I wanted to come to Rome. He didn't want to go to Rome as a prisoner. But what he found was this, that in his adversity, then the gospel was right on schedule. So in all the things that happened to him, he's talking about, you know, what came out of that. Something good really came out of that. Adversity, secondly, provides us an opportunity to witness. In verse 13, Paul talked about the palace guard. That is the Praetorian Guard is who he's talking about. That's the elite soldiers of the Roman army who made up this guard. When Paul was in prison, he was chained to a Roman soldier. Every 4 hours, they would have a shift change where a new person would come on to be chained to the Apostle Paul. Paul is saying that in my chains, that those guards who guarded me heard the gospel. But he went on to say this, not only them, but everybody else heard that they were people of Caesar's palace who heard the gospel. All the rest of them who Paul is talking about here heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So his adversity became a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your adversity and my adversity can do the same. It can become a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ. that we believe in, that we preach, that we teach, the good news of Christ, the gospel that has changed our life and gave us hope, can give hope to others. So it's something here going on that rather than complain about his difficulties, he saw the eternal value in what was going on. One of the key ways to make it through adversity is this. We've got to do the same thing. Rather than complaining and griping and all that with our adversity, we've got to really see the eternal perspective in what is going on. And see, that is why we can have joy in adversity. We see the eternal value of what God is doing. That is joy in our adversity. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Another principle we see here, a third principle, is how that this adversity produced courage in fellow believers. Now, it is evident here that Paul's imprisonment had an effect upon his fellow workers. We know Timothy was with him. We know Silas was with him. We know that he had Luke with him. And so he had other people with him on this journey here to Rome. But what his testimony did and what his adversity did was give them boldness. It gave the church at Rome, those believers at Rome. Now, the church in Rome was a very small community of believers because the gospel is just getting going in Rome. It's just being established in Europe. But even the small band of Christians there became, he said in verse 14, he said, they became confident by my chains. In other words, they saw his faith. They saw his courage, and it gave them courage. You know, that really works even today. That when we go through adversity and problems and circumstances in life, that your life and my life can be an encouragement to others. It can give them boldness for their witness of Jesus Christ when we go through those things. And we know that to be true. A fourth principle here is that adversity proves the character of our friendship. When Paul looked at believers and he looked at the church here in general, he found some things that encouraged him. But he also found some things that discouraged him. He not only saw those who were supporting him, but here in the scripture, there were those who really were working against the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? And the scripture here, Paul says, they were doing this to hurt me. Now, what caused the most pain in Paul's heart was, you know, he thought these people were his friends. But they falsely accused him. And it caused him deep hurt, and it caused him deep pain in his life. But again, his joy was not in his circumstance. His joy was not in his situation. But even though he had deep hurt and pain because of being falsely accused by these so-called friends, his joy and strength was in the Lord. You see, his aim was really to get people to follow Christ. These people who had made these false accusations, what they wanted people to follow them. And so it was, you know, their motive was all wrong. But here's what Paul knew. Paul said this. He said, I rejoice in what's going on, and I will rejoice. In verse 18, why? Because he knew this, that God would honor his word. If there's anything I've learned in all these years of ministry, it's this. God will honor his word. When the word of God is preached, the Bible tells us that it does not return void to the Lord, but it goes out. And the word of God will find a place in a person's heart who needs it, and a person who will be open to it. So God will honor his word. The fifth principle we see here is that adversity really provokes growth in our life. Now, here's what adversity will do. It will make you better or it will make you bitter. And so Paul is talking about that here. He said, you know, my goal in my Christian life is maturity. He wanted spiritual maturity in his life. And so there were three things working to accomplish this goal in Paul's life. Those three things are seen in verse 19 and 20. Let's look at those things. First of all, he was sustained by the prayers of his friends. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. Paul had these folks at Philippi praying for him. The church in Rome was praying for him. Other churches that Paul had established were praying for him. It was Spurgeon who said this. He said, the greatest thing that you can do for me is pray for me. He said, that's the greatest befriendment that you could give to me. They also asked Spurgeon this. They said, how come, you know, what's made your church and ministry so great? He said, because people have prayed for me. I've always liked this verse in Acts. And this verse in Acts really shows us the contrast here that we're talking about. In Acts 12, 5, listen to these words. Here's what the scripture says. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Now notice the contrast. Peter's in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Do you see that contrast there? He was in difficult circumstance. He was in prison. And what did the church do? The church prayed for him. So he had people praying for him. That was working in him. That was producing growth in his life. We need people to pray for us also. Second thing was he is encouraged by the provision of the Holy Spirit. He said, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit. So God's Spirit was in him. You know, there's a reason when we go through adversity that we need God's Spirit, that we need His power, we need His strength. And there's a reason that the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. He is the Comforter, the one who helps us in our times of adversity that we go through. So, in those moments of adversity, what we need to learn is to draw close to the Lord through His Spirit that is in us. And then the third thing that worked for him was his own personal determination here. He talked about in verse 20, his earnest expectation and his hope. You see, this described his attitude. Paul had confidence that he would come through this thing. In adversity and trouble and problems and tragedy and difficulty, the only way through is hope. The only way through is our faith in God. And so that was his expectation, his earnest expectation and hope. So what was his determination here? Well, in verse 20, he was determined this. He was determined to keep a clear conscience. That's what he wanted. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And so there it is. He didn't want to be ashamed. You see, Paul didn't want to use this adversity in his life as an excuse for a relapse in his faith. He didn't want that. Now, adversity sometimes can cause people to have a relapse in their faith. It really can. And so we don't want that. We want to trust God. We want to have faith in Him. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know the adversity can be great. And so we need to follow what Paul is saying here. You know, we don't want to lose our faith and trust in God. The second thing was he was determined to keep a good testimony with all boldness in verse 20. With all boldness. So he was using this adversity to as a witness to the Lord. And then he had a Christ-centered focus. His focus was on the Lord. He said that with earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And so he was using his adversity. He was using this trial as growth in his life. Helen Keller reached 18 months of her new life. At 18 months, something happened that changed her whole life. Blindness, deafness. She really was in a prison in this world. The darkness, not being able to hear. What happened was, she found a person by the name of Ann Sullivan. And Ann Sullivan came and helped her. And when she was 5 years old, Ann Sullivan started working with Helen Keller. And it really changed her life. She never pitied herself. She never gave up. And she just kept going forward. Here's what she said about her adversity in life. Helen Keller said this. She said, "The marvelous riches of human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were no limitations to overcome. The hilltop hour would not be half so wonderful if there were not dark valleys to traverse." There's a sixth principle here, and it's seen here in the scripture to us. And many people feel like this is the key verse of the whole book of Philippians, verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, "The reason for my being is Christ." There's a exercise that you can do as you look at this verse. And here it is. "For me to live is blank." You fill in the blank. "To die is blank." Some people, all they want to live for is money and wealth, prestige and all that. Well, if that's what you're living for, if that's your blank, then what do you gain? Paul's focus was Christ. When we go through adversity in life, problems in life, troubles in life, we need to come back to this verse that our focus is on Christ, and He's the center of our life. He said, whether by life or whether by death. Now, at this point, Paul had no idea how his life would end. We know eventually how his life would end in that Roman prison. He would be beheaded. We know that. But at this point, he didn't know that. But whichever way it went, it was okay with the Apostle Paul. D.L. Moody said this. D.L. Moody said, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive then than I am now." The words of D.L. Moody. Now, let me close this way. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for you." That means your problems, your adversities, your difficulties, your struggles, all of them cast on the Lord. The greatest problem that any human faces in life really is two things. One is sin, and one is death. But here's the gospel. Here's the hope of the gospel. Jesus Christ overcame sin, and He overcame death. And when we put our faith and we put our trust in Him, He forgives us of our sin. He died on the cross to take away our sins. So that takes care of that problem. but also through his resurrection, he conquered death. One day, we'll have life forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he conquered death on the cross. And that's where we want to be. We want him to be the focus of our life. If you've never opened your life to him, do that today. Open your heart to Jesus Christ. Let's stand today for our prayer. Father, we thank you today that the gospel gives us hope. It is our hope. Lord, as we go through adversity and problems and struggles and trials in life, we know that you're with us, and we know that you'll help us. Father, I pray today, as Peter says, that we would just cast all our care upon you. It may be something big, it may be something not so big, but Lord, we can bring those things to you. I pray for those today who need to be saved, those who need to open their life to you. May they come today and trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Thank you for being here today. Go this week in the grace of the Lord. May he strengthen you. May he encourage you as you go through your week. Praise team will come and they'll dismiss us in our benediction course.
Thank you, Pastor. We're just going to close with one verse. If I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, you're dismissed.